Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Pacifica National Board's Audit Committee teleconference. It's Tuesday, November 18th, and the time is 8:41. Thanks so much for your support. And first, I'd like to say that we send our best wishes to the folks in California. Hope everyone is safe. There are a couple of our members who are on the call, and thank you so very much for being on the call. The meeting is now called to order. Susan is our secretary. Could you kindly call the roll, Susan?
Absolutely. Nia Bidiaco.
Present.
Carolyn Burden.
Oops, sorry, present.
Lisa Davis.
Here, present.
Seth Goldberg.
Present.
Ambrose Lane. Absent. Evelyn Bassoon. Stacey Davis. Susan Young, here. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Andrea Turner.
Here.
Joe Wenzala.
Here.
Sean Casey O'Brien.
Here. You're going to make a right.
Jack Van Aken.
Here.
I'd be like two rights.
Donna Warren.
Go right.
So I understand that we have quorum. We have 10, and quorum is 7, and I understand the people who are absent are Ambrose Lane, Evelyn Bassoon, Stacey Davis, and Donna Warren.
Evelyn just called, and she was trying to get on. She was having a little trouble, but she should be here shortly. So the first item on the agenda was called to order and roll call, 5 minutes. Item number 2, approve agenda, 5 minutes. Discussion with our foundation counselor, Dan Siegel, of the whistleblower policy, 5 minutes. Whistleblower employee protection policy, 10 minutes. Whistleblower policy tracking form, 5 minutes. And the approval of the 3 docs, or speaking of docs, 5 minutes. Number 5, approve minutes, 5 minutes. Number 6, set next meeting date, 5 minutes. And number 7, adjourn. My numbering is off here. So do I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Yeah, who was that?
Andrea.
Okay, great.
Opposed.
Okay. What would you like to do?
I'd like to expand the discussion of the proposed change in the whistleblower protection from 5 minutes to 20.
Second.
Wait, is that Sean?
Yes, that's Sean.
Who moved?
Oh, I'm sorry, that was Seth that moved, and I seconded whether I needed to or not.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. No seconds in committees. We don't need that. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. 20. Any other amendments to the agenda aside from the, instead of approval of 3 dots, it should be approved. 3 dots are just a minor grammatical thing and the numbering system, which I'll fix for our secretary.
Don't we have to take a vote on Seth's motion to extend the time of...
Sean Casey O'Brien, I will chair the meeting, please. When I call on you, then that's fine. Okay. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Any other amendments to the agenda?
Well, Carolyn, on the...
Carolyn.
Yeah, I think those times are very short, and I think that the policy also, I'd like to move to extend that to 20 minutes.
Okay.
Not the policy, but the second item on the agenda. I don't have it in front of me. I just remember that it was very short.
Any other amendments to the agenda? Okay. Did I get a motion to approve the 2 amendments to the agenda, extending the whistleblower policy by 15 minutes to make it 20 minutes?
And this is Stacey.
And extending the whistle, thanks, Stacey. Extend the whistleblower employee protection policy by 10 minutes to make it 20 minutes.
I make that motion.
Okay.
No objection.
Okay, so then I'm getting there.
I was just saying I have no objection.
You're ready to bear to your right. The car wash thing.
Is there any objection to those two amendments to the agenda?
Point of information, Madam Chair, could you repeat what they are again?
The whistleblower policy, rather than being 5 minutes, to be the 20-minute discussion, and the whistleblower employee protection agreement, make that 20 minutes rather than 10 minutes. I'm asking, is there any objection to that?
Well, I object, but, you know, okay. I'm the only one, but I think we've had it.
Yeah.
And everybody
okay,
reviewed it, so.
Okay, please, 1 second. Susan?
Yeah?
Could you please call the roll? Let's just do them together. The two motions to make both 20 minutes. Call the roll, please.
Okay, Mia Bidiaco.
I'm not voting.
Carolyn?
I'll always go last.
Carolyn? God, it would be great if we could go fast. Carolyn?
Well, I forgot to unmute. Perhaps you could announce at the beginning of a call, remind us to unmute. I vote yes.
Lisa Davis?
I vote no. I'm not for extending it to the 20 minutes.
Jeff Goldberg?
Yes.
Evelyn Buffoon?
No.
Stacy Davis?
Yes.
Okay, Susan Young, no. Tracy, Tracy?
I'm going to vote yes.
Hold on a moment.
Over. Yeah, sorry, I'm catching up with the... Stacy is yes, correct?
That's correct.
And I am no, and Tracy is yes. And Andrea?
No.
No. Joe?
Yes.
Sean?
Yes.
Okay. Jack?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Okay, so is I believe the yeses have it. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yeses. So that, so it wins.
Okay. Could I get a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved, Andrea.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Any objections to approving the agenda as amended?
Is that Tracy?
Yes.
Okay, great.
That was Andrea who said it first, I thought. Andrea, was that you?
Yes, I said so moved.
Okay,
right.
Great.
That's fine.
Get it on.
I just hear. So I shut out.
I love laughter. That's nice. Is Dan Siegel on the call? Dan? Okay. Oh, no, Dan, as yet. Jack, could you kindly... Evelyn?
Yes?
Are you by your computer?
No, I'm not. I'm driving.
Okay. Susan is taking the minutes. I would ask that you just cheer for a second. Or Jack, can you please call Dan Siegel for me?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I'm back on the call.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so let's go to the first item, which is the whistleblower policy. That's 20 minutes. Lisa, are you by a clock?
No, I'm sorry, you're asking.
Hang on, I can't. Okay. I am.
So, Susan, can you take minutes and keep track of the...
And I can chew gum and blow my nose.
Okay. It's 20 minutes. Can
Got
you...
it.
Okay, great. So, who... I'll take a stack.
All right, I'll be on the stack, although I don't know that I should be at the beginning or the end, because
who's
then
I?
You might
who's
hear
I?
To what I have to say.
Well, who's I?
Oh, okay. Seth.
Who's that?
Seth.
And I'd like to be on the stack, too, Madam Chair.
Okay.
And you're keeping track of the stack, Nia?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'll do that. You have enough, Susan. Okay. Let me just Seth, I'll pull it. Seth, do you have your objections in front of you?
Who are you talking to?
Seth.
Yeah, I have a lot of them in front of me. At some point, I'm going to propose a substitute motion. Yeah.
Madam Chair, this is Lisa. Can I get on the stack?
Okay.
And Jack, I have information.
And Carolyn on the stack, please.
So there's Seth, Sean, Lisa,
mm-hmm.
Jack, Carolyn. Jack, when you said you have information, is that pertaining to Dan?
Yes.
Okay.
He'll be on in 10 minutes.
He'll be on in 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, Seth, go ahead. Thank you, Jack.
Okay. Okay, I hope this is... not distracting. Basically, I proposed change, which says that the potential whistleblower would only be protected. They gave the information to the foundation first, and then they allowed the foundation the opportunity to investigate and/or respond. And assuming that I'm correct, that that's the proposed motion, I want to speak against it, and I have two objections to it. First, as a practical matter, I think it's bad business. I had an extensive discussion with my labor attorney, because I really don't know this kind of law, but she does very much. She, that's all she specializes in. And she says that, look, if there is some sort of a suit for wrongful termination, then let's say an employee goes to somebody and then gets fired or gets sued and then goes into court. Plaintiff's Exhibit 1, according to her, you're basically setting a trap for yourself, is by introducing a clause such as this, which makes you look like somebody who's acting against the spirit of the Whistleblower Protection Act, which is designed to protect the whistleblower. So
Seth,
the idea...
Seth,
how much more
Seth,
time do I have?
Seth?
Yes?
Seth,
yes?
Could you please read the paragraph in the policy to support your argument, please?
Well, there's a paragraph in the policy that reads an employee is protected... disclosure of reports... of concerns to individuals not involved in the investigation will be viewed as a serious disciplinary offense. Serious disciplinary offense and may result in discipline up to and including issue of a dismissal from unpaid position or removal from local or national conduct may give rise to other actions including civil lawsuits. Is that sentence actually...
Okay.
Right?
Just
I'm moving straight back.
Seth, so everybody gets a chance to speak, could you also read Foundation Counsel's response to that?
Yeah, he said, I got a one-sentence thing that I read that said
Please
that it was consistent with current law. Did he give a more extensive response?
No. Please read verbatim what he wrote.
What I have is something that said it's fine with me. Let me try to find that. I don't have it in front of me. If somebody else wants to read that, they can.
Let me find
it. I'm not disputing that it may be legal. I'm saying it's stupid.
Yes, it is. Here,
okay.
I've got it right here.
Sean? Sean, I'll call you. Seth,
you just have asked you started? Me. I thought you just asked the body.
No, I did not.
All right.
That was okay.
All right, so now hopefully that doesn't take away from my time, but let me just continue. So if that's what I consider the offensive sentence, then the reason I want to strike it is, the reason I think it's offensive. Yes, ma'am. Yes?
Did you find Foundation Counsel's response? I want to keep the conversation.
Would Madam Chair like to read it for me now on her time? No
point
problem.
Order, Madam Chair, point of order, please.
I have it.
I have it, Madam Chair.
I have it, Seth.
Point of order, please.
1 second, Carolyn. Seth?
Yes,
Seth,
ma'am.
I will read it. It says, perhaps this question assumes that the paragraph quoted here applies to the person reporting the concern, parenthetic, the whistleblower. My interpretation of this paragraph, based upon where it appears in the proposed policy, is that it forbids persons who are given the responsibility for investigating the concern from sharing the concern with unauthorized people. This provision seems necessary so that concerns are kept confidential in order to protect the whistleblower from retaliation. And that
I was wrong.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree that the investigators should maintain confidentiality.
And that's exactly what it reads. Okay, thanks, Seth. Thank you. Sean Casey O'Brien, it's your turn.
All right.
Point of order, please. Carolyn here.
Carolyn. Yeah,
go ahead. Yeah, I would appreciate it if you could allow speakers to just go ahead without back and forth from the chair. With all due respect, it's very confusing
to
hear this.
Am I allowed to continue, Madam Chair?
Okay.
All right, how much time do I have, Madam Chair?
Okay, 1 second, please. Just one voice at a time. It is my responsibility to manage the meeting in such a way that it is audible and that it is organized. The reason that I asked Seth to do that, we have gone over this. Obviously, Seth read this, but I want to give him a chance to read the response. Going back and forth with the same that we've been working on, and Seth has not been here, is not fruitful. We don't get any place like that. So I will manage the meeting the way that I'd like to manage the meeting. I mean, if somebody wants to chair, then that's perfectly fine. Now, Seth, was that
Madam
you?
Chair,
who
do I have
had...
floor?
Seth?
Point of information?
Lisa, please, 1 second, please. Seth.
Yes, Seth, I'd like the floor.
1 second. No. I thought you were done.
No, that was incorrect, ma'am.
Okay. You said
May
you agreed. You agreed. Okay, go ahead.
I agreed with what you said. I still want to continue.
Okay. Okay.
How much time do I have, Madam Chair?
Okay.
Do I have 2 minutes?
Yeah, I will give you a chance. I will give you a chance to finish. Let me just hear Lisa's point of information. What's your point of information, Lisa?
Well, my point of information was how long will people have to speak? Seth has been speaking a couple of minutes now. He doesn't know a lot about what's going on because he hasn't been on the call. You know, just a gentle reminder, because I know he's been speaking several minutes now.
Okay.
Susan?
I'd
like to note that he's been interrupted repeatedly
Susan?
While he's tried to fulfill his time.
Yeah.
Not to make it,
but Tracy, for the fact.
Nine minutes have elapsed.
I don't think I have interrupted for 11 minutes. But Seth, I'm going to give you have 2 minutes to make your point, and then I'll go on. And then that's it.
First of all, I thank Madam Chair for her correction. The point of my objection is to what I suppose is the relevant point in the current employee contract, which says that employees are only protected if they first report to the foundation. And I'm going to later introduce a motion that deletes that. In other words, I want the employee to be able to report to the appropriate California state body at any time and without any fear of retaliation, and that we would instead request the employee to share their information with the foundation so that the foundation could begin immediately its own confidential investigation, which would put the foundation on the same side as the employee, trying to ferret out whatever wrongdoing that they think is happening, and that that would be the practical way of trying to head off these kinds of whistleblower reports going to the state and bringing down some sort of state investigation. And I would further include in a motion that I'll later introduce the idea that we should follow the California law and say that the Attorney General's hotline is listed in 14-point type and posted all over. And second of all, very clearly identify in the absence of an HR who they should report to. And I'd also like to introduce in that motion the notion that the potential whistleblower can report, if they choose to report to someone in the foundation, to any member of the audit committee, who should report it, say, within a week or within 48 hours, and certainly at the time of the next audit committee meeting. So this would cover any case
that's
of
it,
systemic
that's
corruption.
It.
Thank you. I'm done.
That's it. Okay.
I'm done. Thank you.
The next person is Sean.
Yeah, well, it's my belief that this whole policy debate is a waste of time in that we have stronger state laws that protect whistleblowers than anything we're talking about here, and signing the one-page agreement deprives you of those rights. I will read from the pertinent part of the law, the California Labor Code, section 1102.5, and I'll only read one subsection of it. An employer may not adopt or enforce any rule, regulation, or policy preventing an employee from disclosing information to a government or law enforcement agency where the employee has reasonable cause to believe that the information disclosed is a violation of state or federal statute or a violation of noncompliance with state or federal rules or regulations. And I point to, let me go over here and open this up. Let's see, that is number two.
Excuse me, Sean. Sean, why are you looking?
I got it. It's right here in front of me, madam. Please.
I said, excuse me. Is Dan Siegel on now? Dan, are you here?
Well, I'm happy to repeat it for him, okay? In our employee, and I wish everybody to join me in reading
No,
this.
Sean.
In our employee protection whistleblowing policy, it says an employee is protected from retaliation only if the employee brings the alleged unlawful activity, policy, or practice to the attention of the foundation and provides the foundation with a reasonable opportunity to invest and correct the alleged unlawful activity. Here's the key. The protection described below is only available to employees that comply with this requirement. I'm sorry, that's in conflict with the Labor Code and Senate Bill 777, because even if you don't comply with that, the state law still applies. So this is a big, useless discussion and a waste of time. We should, I want the record to reflect that right now, KPFK and probably all of Pacifica is in violation of this law, because according to 1102.8, we're supposed to be posting all kinds of signs around with a hotline to the Attorney General, as Seth pointed out, in 14-point type. And right now, we are in violation of that law. So I'm going to vote against this. It's unnecessary. We have stronger protections under state law. And I join any of you in reading these laws. I'm happy to send them off to you. And I ask you to remember one thing when you read these laws, and that is the first law of laws. Common words have common meanings. And if you pass this policy, you will be in conflict with the law. And that is a bad place for us to be.
Okay. Sean Casey O'Brien, if you wish.
My name is Dan Siegel. I want to tell you I'm on the call.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay.
Let's hear from an attorney.
Hi, Lisa.
Okay. Sean Casey O'Brien.
It was really uncalled for, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Yes, no. Lisa knows she's out of order. Sean Casey O'Brien, If you read what Foundation Counsel wrote, he said to eliminate the word only.
It's not good enough. I'm sorry. The ambiguity still exists. It doesn't clarify.
Okay, you've had your turn.
Point of information, Madam Chair?
You've had your turn. Yes, Carolyn.
We had passed a motion asking Foundation Counsel to give us some citations with his opinions, and there were none in the written opinion he submitted. Does he have any now for us?
Okay. I know that Dan is on the call. I'm going to go through the list, and then Dan can answer that question. Lisa?
Okay, Madam Chair, thank you. I want to, first of all, remind people that there's really no need to talk very loudly because we can hear you. So I would just like to remind people of that. Also, one of the issues that I just am having a bit of a problem with is that, and I won't mention any names, but you have had this policy out there for a while. For asking for everybody's input. Some people have not even bothered. Is somebody saying something? I'm sorry. Okay. And some people have not even bothered to respond, haven't even been on never even bothered to come to the audit committee call. And now we're hearing all of this until tonight and all this kind of stuff. And I just am going to remind people, you know, you get your email, we should be abreast of our emails. And I think to show a little bit more consideration when something is put out there in advance, because it has been for a while, and especially if people don't even bother showing up for the calls, to maybe, you know, show a little bit more interest and to make sure you do that. And you know, because I know some things that were suggested, I'm like, we've already had that conversation before, but the person doesn't know, because, of course, he wasn't on the call. So
Madam, this is out of order, please. We're wasting our 20 minutes. Can we proceed with the...
Point of order. I don't want to hear from the person about wasting 20 minutes. I could say a lot about what she does. Okay, thank you, Madam.
Well, I apologize anyway. Okay.
Okay, I'd like to ask Jack... folks, I'm really trying. We will be okay, okay? I'm going to ask Jack, Carolyn, Tracy, and who else I heard wanted to be on the staff. I think that was you, Susan, or Stacy, right?
No.
Okay,
not
I have Jack. Right, okay. Jack, Carolyn, Tracy, and Doug.
Madam Chair, let me just point out that we have two more minutes for our 20.
Okay. For those folks that are left on the staff, would it be okay for us to, this Foundation Council is here, he's kind enough to be doing this for us, could we go to him? Is that okay with everybody else who's on the staff?
Yes.
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 Tracy and Doc?
Yeah, no, I would like to speak for briefly before he does, if that's possible.
Okay. So you're one of the four, so this is democracy, the majority carries. Okay. Dan?
Yes, thank you, Nia. I mean, I'm prepared to answer questions. I tried to express my views in writing. I guess there are a couple of members of the committee who don't agree. I'd love to hear their questions so that I can answer them. I think the policy that the committee has drafted should really be seen as non-controversial, so I'm surprised that there is such acrimony over it, but again, I'm happy to answer any questions that people have.
Okay. Jack, did you have a question for Foundation Council?
Yeah, actually I do. Dan, you had recommended striking the word only from the sentence that reads, an employee is protected from retaliation only if the employee brings the alleged unlawful, etc. The next sentence reads, the protection described below is only available to employees that comply with this requirement. Would you also suggest striking only from that sentence? Does that...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the question was sent to me that the second paragraph wasn't there, and putting the word only in is actually a misstatement of the law, because persons who engage in whistleblowing conduct, whether they do it under the procedures of Pacifica or under the procedures that are established by any applicable state and federal laws, are also protected. So that's why I think the word only is too restrictive.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can I get on the stack to ask Mr. Siegel a question? This is Sean.
Carolyn, on the stack, please.
Carolyn, I know you're next. I have the stack.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't sign up to speak to Dan. I was on the earlier stack that you canceled.
No, I didn't
asking to be
that.
On the stack. Thank you.
The people on the stack will stay on the stack. Susan, is time up, Susan?
Yeah, time's up.
Okay, so let's, can we just suspend the rules? Oh, my God, please, let me finish speaking. Can we just suspend the rules to extend this conversation for, let's say, we have 1, 2, 3 on this item, because I don't want to take advantage of Dan's largesse. And somebody else wants to get on this stack, that's Sean. 1, 2, 3, 4. For another, let's say, 15 minutes, is that good enough?
No objection.
No objection.
No objection.
Okay, Susan, you keep it track. Okay, and folks, please keep it brief. Ask Dan a specific question. He already answered about the only, let's go. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yes, I have two questions. One is, thank you. One is, I keep asking for citations because we have a state law. We have a Senate Bill 777. We have a citation to 1102.8, and I haven't heard anything to uphold the Dan's ruling, which sort of contravenes that. And the arguments that Seth made, I would like to move those into a motion at this point that Seth proposed, because there may not be time to do that later. So I would like to move the substitute motion that Seth stated earlier, and that we go to that quickly, because I'm not convinced. I think we have several problems here. One, is, of course, is that we have no HR director, and I don't know how this meshes with policy on something other than fraud. The definition of fraud, if it's only financial, then we have whistleblowers who are maybe dealing with other issues. So I don't know if that refers only to finances. So I think we should either move the substitute motion or just postpone this until we get some real answers. Thank you.
Carolyn, I think Dan is driving. Could you read the paragraph and then do the substitute motion?
I think that Seth had outlined that, and I don't have the exact wording on that. Seth, are you prepared to give exact wording on that?
Well, now that Mr. Siegel has removed the word only, that's a substantive change. Could I ask Mr. Siegel a question? I'll wait until the end of the stack.
I'm not prepared to give substitute language at the moment. I'll work on it, though, while we're talking.
I can respond to Carolyn if you like, and then I would like to hear from Sean, who apparently has some concerns as well. But in response to Carolyn, we're talking about a drafting issue, so I don't understand what the relevance is to case citations to an issue of drafting. You're perfectly right in citing various laws that both allow people to blow the whistle and protect whistleblowers. And for that reason, and I'm in agreement with you, so I'm not sure why you're disagreeing with me when I'm in agreement with you, striking the word only from the policy in light of the other paragraph was sent to me, which provides protection, in my mind, makes it clear and that there's no law that you need to cite that a person who blows the whistle is protected. I think that's what the policy says. Again, I think that's a controversial statement on my part, and I'm really having a hard time seeing the point of disagreement. Maybe Sean can sharpen that up and make it clear what it is that I've said that is somehow contrary to his understanding of the law.
Well, I was going to offer an amendment. This is Seth, and I can make it very precise now. First of all, in the...
Seth, I did not call on you.
I apologize.
Okay. To Tracy and Stacy, I'm going to ask Sean to just say what he has to say so that Dan could respond. Is that okay with you two? You two were next on the staff.
I'm not on the staff. This is Stacy. Okay. I'm not on the staff.
Tracy. That's Evelyn. Evelyn and Tracy, is it okay to have Sean, just let Sean make his point and Dan could respond? Is that okay with you, lady?
I don't have a problem.
Okay, Tracy, is that okay? Okay. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, listen, my problem with this whole thing, this whole process, is that we already have stronger state laws that protect whistleblowers, and the signing of that one-page agreement deprives our employees of those rights. I will only read you one subsection of California Labor Law, section 1102.5. An employer may not make, adopt, or enforce any rule, regulation, or policy preventing an employee from disclosing information to a government or law enforcement agency where the employee has reasonable cause to believe that the information discloses a violation of state or federal statute or a violation or noncompliance with a state or federal rule or regulation. And I take note that in our employee protection whistleblower policy, in the second paragraph, the second half of the second paragraph reads, an employee is protected from retaliation only if the employee brings the unlawful activity, policy, or practice to the attention of the foundation and provides the foundation with a reasonable opportunity to invest and correct the alleged unlawful activity. Here's the key. The protection described below is only available to employees that comply with this requirement. That would put us in direct conflict with the labor law, because I got news for you. Whether they agree to that or not, they're still covered by state law, which says you can't retaliate against them if they don't tip you off first. I'd love to have your comments, and I'd love to know where you're, you know, what you're basing it on, sir.
Go ahead, Dan.
Sean, I think you're picking an argument with someone who's not arguing with you. You know, it's important that we listen to each other. I, when this matter was brought to my attention, I advised the chair and members of the committee that the word only should be stricken from the
language. That's not the key, Dan. It's not the word only.
Sean, do not interrupt. No, just stop. I really don't have the patience for this tonight. Just stop. Let him finish.
By striking the word only, it makes it clear that an individual who makes a complaint of any type that can be described as a whistleblower complaint is protected. Now,
why have you signed anything?
Let me finish, all right?
No.
Now, you point out the section of the labor code, which I happen to be familiar with. I sue people based on violations that code. I think I know it very well. I would say to you, and I ask you to please listen to me, I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes, is that Pacifica's policy is broader than the labor code. Because if you look at the cases under the labor code, what you have to have in order to qualify for protection is a violation of a public law or regulation. That's all well and good, and it's a vital protection that people have. But the Pacifica policy, which I believe he has indicated is derived from regulations under Sarbanes-Oxley, is that you would have protection not only for complaining about a violation of a public law or policy, but, for example, an accounting standard.
That's right.
You know, many of you probably know that we have had a internal whistleblower complaint, and it wasn't based on any violation of the law. It was based upon an alleged violation of good accounting standards. So the purpose of the policy, which I think is a good policy, is that it supplements the protections that individuals have under law by giving them another place. Sure, you can complain to the Attorney General. you can complain to the Securities and Exchange Commission. I would have to say, again, as someone who's done this work, that you're probably going to have a better chance getting the chair of the Pacifica Audit Committee to listen to you than you're going to have getting the Attorney General or the SEC to listen to you. So it should be seen not in a suspicious way as trying to limit people's rights, but really to expand people's rights to be whistleblowers and to be protected. And if you want to put a big sign at the top of the policy, announcement, we want to make this clear that you have a perfect right to complain to every public official in the United States and even to the United Nations, if you like, and this is a supplement to that. I mean, I wouldn't oppose it, but that's the reality.
Why not simply redraft it in clear language?
Sean.
May I respond?
Get control of it, please. You need to just get control.
I apologize.
Seth, please, you know better. Just wait. Let him finish.
Right.
Just ask to be recognized, and you will be recognized.
All right, please, Madam Chair.
May I respond?
Okay. Dan, are you done, Dan?
I'm finished, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Now, on the stack, respectfully to your colleague, Seth, who are on the list, we have Tracy. Tracy, and I will put you at the bottom of the stack, Seth.
Put me at the bottom of the stack because I want to respond to Dan.
Tracy?
I'm not on the stack.
Okay. Evelyn? Evelyn?
Give her a minute to beep in. She's probably been on mute.
I'm here.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Evelyn, and speak up. You're a little low.
Okay, I'm not on the stack, and I don't have a problem with I'm hearing. I really wish that people would, however, listen when each other's talking, because this is really out of control.
Thank you. Sean Casey O'Brien.
Yeah, hey, Dan, I hate to disagree with you, but I got to say that when I read the law, and I go by the first law of laws, that common words have common meanings, and then I look at this last line in the second paragraph, this protection described below is, even if you take out only and say is available to employees that comply with this requirement, right there you're in conflict with the law. You've passed a rule that is keeping people from being whistleblowers, and that's a violation of the labor code. I will also note that to say to people, well, go look at case law, or this was developed on case law, is really unrealistic. Let us look at the simple law, the black letter law, as it's laid out in the law books. And also, we are already in violation of this policy. Are you there, folks? I'm hearing a lot of noise. Because according to 1102.8, we're supposed to have big signs up prominently placed in 14-point type that gives out the Attorney General's hotline and tells people how to report how to be good whistleblowers. Do you hear me?
Madam Chair, may I please get on the stack? It's Susan Young.
Madam Chair, there's a lot of distortion going on, and I'm wondering if Dan and the rest of my colleagues heard me.
Could the drivers hear themselves?
Someone needs to.
I can't make out anything that anybody's saying to me at this point.
Oh, could the drivers mute themselves? Thank you.
It's done now, Carolyn. Go ahead, Sean.
Thank you.
So Dan, what I'm saying is, that last line in the second paragraph, being available to people that comply with this requirement, i.e. sign their rights away, is in conflict with the law, of which we're already in violation with, because we're not telling people how to be good whistleblowers. And I think that if somebody, you know, was a whistleblower and they got terminated because they didn't go to the foundation and then they sued for wrongful termination, they would use this policy in court to prove that we were trying to keep people from being whistleblowers, that we were trying to cover up.
Madam Chair, Susan Young, may I get on the stack?
1 second, Dan?
Yes?
Dan? Would you like to reiterate? I mean, the only thing you could do at this point is to say it again, maybe in a different way, that I'm going to Susan.
Okay. Well, I understand, you know, what Sean is saying. I listened to him very carefully. I don't think that the language of the policy discourages people from being whistleblowers. I've just not seen it. I'm seeing this as something that's in addition to legal requirements and is a measure which is protective of whistleblowers. And furthermore, if I were still around and anybody wanted to fire somebody because they went to the Attorney General or the Securities and Exchange Commission instead of going to the chair of the Audit Committee, I would tell them that you can't do that. But, you know, I think maybe, Sean, what you're not seeing is that there are many companies have policies that are in addition to legal requirements. For example, many companies have policies against discrimination, which say you shall not discriminate against your fellow employee on the basis of her race. And if someone is a victim, they can go in the company policy and get some redress and so on. The existence of that policy doesn't stop anybody from going to the EEOC or to a state anti-discrimination agency. It's supplemental. It's not exclusive.
No, no, because it's not. It vitiates it.
Sean? Go ahead, Dan.
Law, Dan.
That's it. I mean, if you can't be convinced, you can't be convinced. That's
right.
But that's my opinion.
Well, we need a second opinion. That's what I'm saying. Then we'll know who's
your
right.
Your time is up. Your time is up. The next person is Seth, and then Susan. How much time is left, please? Speaking of time is up.
We're already past.
You're already past the time. Okay.
All right, we have 1 minute, Madam Chair.
I say we should call the question.
Well, you can't say call the. Okay.
No question.
So
we're in debate. You have to close off debate.
Listen.
The time is up.
Sean, please, I'm asking you, be respectful of the other people on the committee. There are other people here. What I'm going to do, I'm going to let Seth and Susan speak, and then that's it. Is that okay with everybody? I know, Seth, you have to be quick. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a proposed sort of compromise solution. Maybe Mr. Siegel can help draft just a much clearer way. In other words, instead of starting out with a law and then taking out the word only, why don't we start out with something specific that complies with both the spirit and the letter of the California Whistleblower Protection Act, then cite the act. Because we're not talking about guys signing away their rights. We're talking about something in the employee handbook that reiterates to the employees that we're pointing out to them that they have these rights. And then the only person who has to sign something special is this special person of the investigating committee or the auditor who has to sign a form that says that he will keep the reports of concerns confidential. And basically, we could have a long flag-waving mom and apple pie thing saying exactly what Mr. Siegel said. Not only do we support the stuff in the California law, but our support is even broader than that. And we would hope that you would bring your concerns to us or to any member of the audit committee. And that you have all these ways, and when we have an HR person, you can also bring it to them, and they're trained to start these investigations. And give them a whole page or two of all their rights and what we want them to do so that it's not in legalese, but in plain English. And then I think we will be all happy to sign it.
Okay. Susan, I know it's your turn, but I have one question. Seth?
Yes, ma'am.
Somebody please mute. Are you an accountant?
I'm a finance accountant.
Right.
I'm
okay.
Also the owner of...
I just asked you one... No. You don't have to do that. I'm just asking a question. As an accountant, you know that whistleblowing is supposed to be investigated by the audit committee. Is that not true according to AICPA rules?
That's true,
Hello?
But the way you
okay.
should do
okay,
it
that's
is you
it.
Should respectfully
that's
ask the people to submit their reports to you, which is what Mr. Siegel just previously agreed was the correct way to do it, so that it does not sound restrictive, but permissive and invitational. Mr. Siegel,
okay.
Do you agree?
Dan?
A point of order, Mr. Chair.
Dan? Dan?
Yes.
Did you hear what Seth said?
I heard him say, do you agree, but I wasn't sure what he was asking me to agree with.
Do you agree?
Quickly repeat it, Seth.
Yeah, do you agree that we could easily redraft this so that the whole thing seemed extremely permissive and invitational to report things to the audit committee, but that it in no way had any of the smell of trying to restrict any of the person's rights, and that the only restriction of rights we would try to put in would be to maintain confidentiality for the investigators on the audit committee and the human resources department?
Yes, I think some language could be added to make it clear that what you just said, yes.
Thank you,
okay.
Sir.
Seth, could you please draft that language now and then forward it to the entire committee while I go to Susan? Susan?
Yeah.
You're next. You're next, Susan.
Okay. First of all, I would think that a simple remedy to this would be to say something to the effect of, this policy is intended to implement and in no way restrict legal remedies, and I want to underscore that the purpose of this that Dan has brought up is that it goes way beyond what the law provides.
That's right.
And it is critical that we put this in place.
That's right.
And all of the grumping about us being out of compliance is running counter to our trying to achieve a policy which is standard nationally for providing for whistleblower activities within and beyond the law.
Very well said, Susan. Okay, so that's the motion, Susan?
Yeah, I have a motion which is to add language that makes it clear that this policy in no way contradicts or constrains rights under the law.
Okay, type it up, please, and forward it to the committee, Susan.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Lisa?
I'm not trying to, extend time. I wanted to know if there was time for me to be on the stack, but if not now, I can say something later.
Okay, let's just try to get these two amendments, and then, because I hope there won't be this squabble over the tracking form. God knows, I hope.
Madam Chair, I have a real problem with this process. I'd like to point of information. It seems that we're trying to do everything on the fly here instead of sitting down and calmly doing this. There is absolutely no rush in instituting this policy because we already have the protections of state law. So why don't we sit down and get this right, because it was so poorly constructed from the start that we can't fix this on the fly.
It's okay.
I'd be happy to work with Mr.
Okay.
Point of information, Madam Chair. Oh, I'm sorry, point of information. Can I get on this back? I'm sorry.
Hold on a second, Lisa. Susan?
Yeah?
Do you have your language ready?
I'm working on it.
Yes. Yeah. Do you have your language ready?
On the stack, Madam Chair. Carolyn, please.
Seth?
I have only a small part of the language ready. What I would say
great.
Is that the only special thing that the person has to find is the restriction for confidentiality.
I can't hear you.
I would say that the only thing that the employee has to sign is the restriction of confidentiality if they happen to be investigating, and
that in
everything else can be included in the employee handbook as an invitation.
Put that in writing.
You're
next, Lisa.
Madam Chair.
You're next. Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you. I mean, I just want to say, and I know that, you know, we've been having some going back and forth on this document and all that, but I just have to clarify something, especially in response to a comment that was said. This information, these policies, you put them out there, you ask people to for their input, and I'm not saying that things can still not be refined, but to insinuate that people are doing things on the fly is absolutely not true whatsoever. And I, Madam Chair, would you please tell this person to have a little bit of respect? I don't interrupt him. I don't want him to interrupt me. I'm making my comment. We have had this document, so when and all people had to do when we were going over to present their suggestions or whatever like that, and like I said, some people it's their first time on the call or whatever. But I also do think that it's important because people might be reading one piece of something, because I'm looking at something right here, the Employee Protection Whistleblower Policy, which everybody would sign, which in the second paragraph it says, and I won't read everything, but it is the intent of the foundation to adhere to all laws and regulations that apply to the organization, and the underlying purpose of this policy is to support the organization's goal of legal compliance. The support of all employees is necessary to achieving compliance with various laws and regulations. And then it goes on to further say, again, I'll just be brief, the foundation will not retaliate against any employee who in good faith has made a protest or raised a complaint against some practice of the foundation or another individual or entity, blah, blah, blah. The foundation will not retaliate against employees who disclose or threaten to disclose to a supervisor or a public body. Okay? Mm-hmm. Any activity, policy, or practice of the foundation that the employee reasonably believes is in violation of a law. So all of this is said right there. So I guess the tone of, I'm having a little bit of offense, because it's clear that nobody is trying to sidestep any laws. It's right here. Nobody is trying to prevent anybody from reporting anything that they feel they should. Well, this is right here, that one of the things that we're talking about approving. That's right in language right there. Now, maybe some things need to be tweaked a little bit more, but, the tone is a little, in my opinion, offensive. Thank you.
Okay.
But that goes to show the intent right there, what we're trying to do with this policy.
Your point well taken, Lisa.
I've got my motion written.
I'll take it, Lisa.
Carolyn on the stack here, please.
Carolyn on the stack, hold on, Carolyn on the stack. Susan?
Yeah.
And Seth,
read the motion.
Seth, do you have your language? Yes or no? Just yes or no? Just yes or no?
Not quite yet.
Okay, great. Okay. Susan?
Yeah, I'll read the language. Let me comment that there is urgency because the protection we are trying to provide goes beyond legal protection. And the whistleblower action that has already taken place is not currently protected. Okay, the language is, in signing this policy, employees have not waived any rights under law. And I've emailed it out.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Time is up.
To speak to the amendment, please.
Listen, time is up.
Carolyn, on the stack, please.
I have my amendment.
Listen. The time is already up. Susan and Seth, I've given them the opportunity to craft their motion. They're going
to
vote these things up or down.
We have to.
The time is up, and it takes 2/3 to extend the time. We've gone way over time.
No, this is a breach of process.
Point of order.
Following the rules.